You know, names are very important. We all have one. I mean, I saw most of you here tonight, and I think I know most of you. There's some of you here tonight that I don't know. But as people were walking in tonight, I was saying hello to them. I was calling them by name. I mean, names are a means of identification. They're a means by which we speak to one another. In Bible times, names were much more important than that. When we were having our kids, most people, when they have their kids, will say, well, I'm just going to name them after my father, after my mother. When we had our kids, we actually went to the Bible. We wanted to pick Bible names. So when Joshua came along, we called him Joshua David. When Nathan came along, we called him Nathan Jeremiah. In Bible times, names were very, very important. They revealed something about a person's character. Moses, for example, was drawn out of the water. That's why they called him Moses. As I said just a few minutes ago, the name of Jesus Christ is a revelation of who Jesus Christ really is. And the world really doesn't understand who Jesus Christ is. In the Bible, both Old and New Testaments speak of the one person, Jesus Christ. I mean, the whole Old Testament prophesied about His coming, and the New Testament is the revelation of the coming of Israel's promised Messiah. Tonight, I want to say three things about different names of Christ. First of all, His name reveals His personality. We see that in the Gospel of Matthew, the chapter that was read by Joan Perry just a few minutes ago. The Bible says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The angel then said, she will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And now listen to what it says. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before. God spoke to Isaiah, and this is what this scripture says. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the first name that's given to Christ here is this name Emmanuel in the Old Testament. It reveals His personality. It speaks to us of a supernatural baby. This is not an ordinary child. But this is God Himself manifest in flesh. The virgin will be with child, the Bible says, Isaiah, and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. The Apostle John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made. That has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And then it says, the Word became flesh. Live for a while among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. The name Emmanuel reveals this supernatural baby, not an ordinary baby, but God Himself manifest in flesh. It reveals a supernatural birth, not an ordinary birth, but a virgin birth. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And you're to give Him the name Jesus. Not only reveals a supernatural baby and a supernatural birth, but it reveals a supernatural battler. Why would God Himself come into this world? The Bible says, although the world was made through Him, the world did not receive Him. Why would God enter into this world in the person of the Son, Jesus Christ? Well, He came so to do battle with Satan and with sin. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to do battle with the devil. And we see that especially in His temptation in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says. He was tempted by the devil. And Christ conquered him in that wilderness, but Christ conquered him especially at the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the written code with all of its regulations that was opposed to us, that stood against us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over by the power of the cross. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. He is God with us. It reveals a supernatural baby, a supernatural birth, and a supernatural battler. Only Jesus Christ has the power to deliver us from sin, the power to deliver us from Satan, and even the power to deliver us from death. Praise God. That's why we celebrate Christmas. All these things were foretold in the Old Testament. You just got to pick up the Bible, read through the prophets, read through the Psalms, read through the books of Moses. They all prophesy about God sending a Redeemer into the world, Christ Jesus, praise God. Well, His name doesn't only reveal the fact of His personality, it reveals also His purpose. And you see that in the same passage of Scripture that I just read. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want exposure to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, he says, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now listen to his words. She will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. His name reveals his purpose. His name is Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. That's what it means. Jesus is the Old Testament equivalent to Joshua, which means God saves, or the Lord is salvation. See, the name Jesus speaks of his desire. It reveals a God who desires to save sinners. Isn't that beautiful? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to me. The reason why we celebrate Christmas is only because of the death of Christ. As I said last Sunday morning, had Jesus not died on the cross and had he not rose again on the third day, there would be no reason to celebrate Christmas. His virgin birth alone can't save us. His sinless life alone can't save us. But it's through his sacrificial death on the cross at Calvary, like those lambs that the priest sacrificed in the Old Testament. The Lamb of God himself was sacrificed at the cross of Calvary to save us from our sins. That's why we can celebrate and rejoice about Christmas. It speaks of God's desire to save sinners. It also speaks of his death. The name Jesus reveals that he came into this world to die for our sins. We cannot be made right with God, listen to me, by our own works. Our works are polluted by sin. All the good deeds that we do are polluted by sin. We fall so short of God's glory. You and I can compare ourselves to each other. We can compare ourselves to other people in the world, and we might look pretty good. Compare yourself to infinite holiness, impeccable righteousness, glorious majesty. Every single one of us is exposed as vile sinners. We need a Savior. Christ went to the cross to die in our place. God made him, the Bible says, who had no sin to be sin for us, praise God, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As if Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, but now our righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Listen, and are justified or saved freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Why? Because the blood of lambs and of goats and of bulls could never wash away our sins. Only the blood of Messiah could save us. Praise God. It speaks of his desire. It speaks of his death, but it also speaks of his deliverance. When you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have been set free from the power of sin. You've been set free from the power of Satan. Listen to me. You will be set free from the presence of sin. That's glorious. No longer slaves to sin. A man is a slave to whatever it is that has ruled his life. In Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone, you and I, the chains of sin have been broken. I don't know if you ever watched that movie, A Christmas Carol. I love it. Alistair Sim. It's great. You know which one I'm talking about. The old black and white one. Get the Jim Carrey one. It's excellent as well. The new one. It's a good one. I don't know if you've seen it. But there's a part in that movie where Charles Dickens talks about Jacob Marley's ghost coming in to see Ebenezer Scrooge, and you see these chains wrapped around him. These chains that he'd forged his whole life. It's a picture of the chain of sin that binds every single one of us. There's only one who has the power to break that chain. It's Christ. Jesus said when he was here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to those who are poor. He's anointed. He's anointed me to set the captives free, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so the name of Jesus Christ reveals his personality. He's Emmanuel. The name of Jesus Christ reveals his purpose. He is Jesus. And finally, the name of Jesus Christ reveals his power. I'm going to go back to the book of Isaiah, written 700 years before the birth of Christ. And I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." There's all kinds of different names that are given to Christ in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The first name that's given to him speaks of the fact that he's the supernatural one. He is wonderful. He is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful in all that he is. He is wonderful in all that he has been. And listen to me, he is going to be wonderful in everything that he will be. When he came the first time, he came as a suffering servant. When he comes the second time, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. He is the supernatural one. That name means miraculous, supernatural, extraordinary. There is nothing that Jesus Christ cannot do. Bible says in Hebrews 1 verse 3 that he upholds all things by the power of his word. It also reveals that he's the supervising one. The Bible says not only is he wonderful, but he's the counselor. And that name means to advise, to counsel, and to lead. Doesn't David say in Psalm 23 verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing"? Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the saints. He's the shepherd of all those who know him as their Lord and Savior. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And what shall he do? He shall make your path straight." He's the supernatural one. He's the supervising one. Listen to me. He's the sovereign one. Not only is he wonderful, and not only is he counselor, but he's also the mighty God. The mighty God. That name means strong and invincible. There is no problem that Jesus Christ cannot solve. Apostle Paul could say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Glorious news. Number four, he's the sustaining one. He's wonderful, he's counselor, he's mighty God. Listen to me. He's everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Our creator, our sustainer, and our preserver. I've had the privilege in my life of raising two boys. I'm a father. And there is nothing that I would not do for those two young men. Nothing. I would be willing to lay down my life for my boys. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is your Father. He is your Father. He sustains us. You know, that's why Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 6, "Don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to wear. Is not life more important than these things?" He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We can trust our Father who will take care of all of our needs. And finally, he's the satisfying one. The Bible says, he is the Prince of Peace. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." Listen to me, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who brought peace with God. He made peace with God through the blood of his cross. The Bible says in Romans 5 verse 1, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Do you have peace with God tonight? Are you sure, absolutely sure, that when you come to the end of your life, when you come to face the grave for yourself, that you will step out of this life into eternity having peace with God? You don't have peace with God unless you've been reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. We can only be justified through faith in Him. Not only does He give us peace with God, but listen to me. When you know Christ, He gives you the peace of God. Isn't that glorious? To go through this world that seems to be sometimes falling apart, and you look at the future, and I I don't know how long I've got left. I was saying to somebody yesterday, I say, you know, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, because some of you don't know. But if by God's grace, I might only have 30 summers left. 30. Maybe 35. If I'm fortunate. 35 summers left. And my life is over. It's gone. But in that time, I can know that God's peace is with me. No matter what happens. No matter what happens today. No matter what happens tomorrow. Yes, we all worry. We all fret. But the Bible says to those of us who know Jesus Christ, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your request to God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's glorious news. That's glorious news. Why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, His name reveals His personality. It reveals a supernatural baby, a supernatural birth, and a supernatural battler. His name reveals His purpose. It speaks of His desire. It speaks of His death. And it speaks of His deliverance. And His name reveals His power. He is the supernatural one. He is the supervising one. He is the sovereign one. He's the sustaining one. And He's the satisfying one. The only one who can truly meet our deepest needs. We just sang a hymn just a few minutes ago. The hymn said that when Christ came, the soul felt its worth. Because God came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. The eternal Son of God became flesh and lived for a while among us, as John says. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you know Jesus Christ tonight? Are you just caught up in the commercialism of Christmas? Do you even have any clue of what Christmas is all about? It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman. It's not even about families coming together, as important as that is. It is about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who came into this world to reconcile us to the Father. That's what Christmas is all about. That's why we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. He wasn't an ordinary baby. He didn't have an ordinary birth. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. I plead with you tonight. I plead with you, if this is the last time you hear my voice, I plead with you tonight, if you have not been reconciled to God, flee to Jesus Christ, the only one who can save you from your sins. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You so, so much for the eternal gospel. The gospel that was given to us in the Old Testament scriptures. The gospel that has come to us in the New Testament scriptures. The Bible speaking of the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Your Son. Father, thank You for saving a sinner like me. Thank You for saving sinners like us. Father, I pray for those of us in this room who know Jesus Christ. Lord, You would fill us with a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. To know that our sins are forgiven, to know that we have been reconciled to You, to know that heaven is our home. We have no need to fear life. We have no need to fear death. Christ is with us. Oh, Father, help us to rejoice in this great Savior that You've given to us. Father, I pray for anyone tonight who doesn't know Christ. Lord, may Your Spirit, may Your Word, may Your Gospel draw that person to the foot of Your cross. I pray, Father, in Your mercy and in Your grace, that You would save them. Oh, Lord God, we leave ourselves in your hands. We thank you. We glorify you. We worship you. We praise you. You are the God who's sitting on the throne. We commit ourselves to you tonight, Lord. Thank you for this time that we've had just to celebrate the birth of your Son. In Jesus' name.